The Consul General of France for the Southeast, Louis de Carral, traveled from Atlanta to bestow the Legion of Honor on the men. It's his nation's highest distinction. The event was both formal and festive, with friends, family, and North Carolina officials gathered at the state capitol building.
We are gathered here today to honor you.
France began awarding the honor to U.S. veterans in significant numbers in 2004. It started as a way to smooth things over after some Americans grew angry when France wouldn't support U.S. plans to invade Iraq. At first, the French held one or two ceremonies a year in North Carolina, but this is the third one this year.
And it's the first time we've done it in November.
Marie-Claire Ribet is France's honorary consul for North Carolina. She began helping organize the ceremonies here a decade ago.
We're doing it faster because we know that they're aging.
So they're holding more ceremonies now because soon they won't be able to have any. For the first North Carolina ceremony this year, back in February, not all those who were honored lived long enough to come.
We were supposed to have four and we only had three.
As the number of veterans trails off, so too will this gentle, personalized approach to diplomacy.
It's showing, yes, we are grateful and we not only recognize your leaders and the famous people, but also the most more humble people that fought for us, but they did greater service to our country than any leader because they were there on the ground.
John Irby, a 94-year-old retired civil engineer who lives in Raleigh, was one of those fighting on the ground, and one of those who received a medal at the ceremony. Irby said he probably wouldn't have even filled out the paperwork for the medal if his daughter hadn't pressed him, but he is pleased by the idea that it isn't awarded to just those who did extraordinary things in combat.
There were 16 million of us in the Second World War, and about 1.5 million of those went into France, of which I was one. So I don't want to be shown as any kind of a hero or anything like that.
Even though the Army awarded him the Silver Star for valor, it was for leading his reconnaissance unit against a far larger German force. He doesn't even tell his family much about that. Irby just waves away any notion that what he did in the war was special.
It was a team effort, and you know, in the service, you are given a job. Some of us got given an assignment that weren't any more important, but they were more visible than others.
He thinks the French government approved the medal because of something that didn't even happen in France, but later on in Germany. His team was pushing ahead to probe for German defenders when it was ordered to divert a few miles to investigate a reported POW camp. The German guards had fled when they heard Americans were coming. Without any fight, Irby soldiers rolled up to a camp of Allied prisoners, including hundreds of Frenchmen.
They were all completely disoriented. Looked like they were about to freeze. They were starving. And a couple of them raised their shirts, I remember. And you saw all of these little white lice on their bodies by the hundreds.
Irby says he was probably at the camp no more than an hour and a half. His entire role in liberating it had been simply to investigate and then call in a special unit trained to handle liberated POWs.
I just happened to be the first vehicle pulling into that camp, and without any opposition.
He said that he was just doing his job. But Ribet, the honorary French consul, says he was a hero, and that so were the American cooks and truck drivers with him.
Going to France, a country that is not your country, and fighting there, that's heroism.
And saying thanks for that brings together two old friends with a deep history who sometimes have slightly different views. Jay Price, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.